Grace and peace to you this morning from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Mark Twain once said, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." I love that. Those words would indicate that we at times catch ourselves in errors of judgment. Is that possible? I mean, we are Lutherans. Is that possible that we would have an error in judgment? Do we at times err in our judgment over situations and even people? This is what Jesus' brother, James, is talking about in our epistle reading today. In his example, he uses two individuals who wish to be included in the congregation. In verse 3, he says, "And if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, 'Oh, sit here, please, please, this is a good spot,' while at the same time to the poor man you say, 'Oh, would you please stand over here or at least get out of the way?'" And James asks, "Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Do you make judgments about people that you're just sure about, but it just ain't so?" I worked with a gentleman from the state of Missouri who was in charge of the development of research parks for the state. He was incredibly intelligent, but he had one flaw. He could not articulate his programs to a large group of onlookers because he had one problem. He stuttered. Unfortunately, his thoughts and his great ideas were disregarded and minimized because of the prejudice towards his presentation. The irony is that if you listened closely, his presentation and his vision eclipsed everyone else's in the room. He was the top presenter. And I'll take another example, perhaps, one closer to home, and he's my friend, Gerald. Well, Gerald has been the firewood supplier to our family for 40 years. And if you'd see him in Mesa's, you would be inclined to walk around him. Tattered blue jeans, sweat-stained shirt, scraggly beard, and a hat so full of holes that it looks like it was shot off his head with a 16-gauge shotgun. But there's something more about him. He is without a doubt the most honest man I've ever met. He never forgets a debt. In the worst possible winter conditions, in the middle of the night, he would make sure our family was supplied with wood. Fair question, could one misjudge him? Sure, absolutely. And so we talk about this range, about misjudgments, and I would also include Lutheran ministers in that. One winter's day, Kim and I were working at the food pantry. And of course, everyone in this room knows the rules of working at the food pantry. Everyone has a skill set. And mine was not filling the boxes. I had never graduated to that. My job was to carry the boxes out to the waiting vehicles. On one icy Saturday, and y'all know that little alleyway that runs next to the food pantry, slicker than ice. It was impossible. It was dangerous. The box was heavy. Struggling down that alleyway, and finally, I got to the street and the lady showed me where I should take the box, and I did. It was to a beautiful new red truck. There was a man on the driver's side who was talking on a new cell phone, and he reluctantly got off of the telephone long enough to crack the window and tell me to put the box in the back of the truck. Sometime during that now challenging effort, Satan came to provide his input to me on what I should do. Three or four weeks later, we were back at the thrift shop when a young lady stopped me as I was putting groceries in a car. She said, "You don't remember me, but you helped me with my groceries a number of Saturdays ago. And I want to thank you. Without that food, I don't know what my two little children and I would have done. I have a job now, and it appears that we're on our feet. So thank you. Thank you so very much." And that causes one to think about everything. And so this would be my message to you today. When judging a situation, take a step back. You always have more time than you think you do. Take a breath and let the Lord make the judgment. Here's an interesting fact you may not know. He always makes the right decision. What are the odds of that? 100% of the time, he does it right. When we want God to answer our prayers, we must be willing to not only let God answer it whenever he thinks is best, but also however he thinks it's best. Now, my final topic today is the subject that we talked about in James, good works. In our epistle reading, James asks, "What good is it, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" As St. Paul writes, you're saved by faith alone. But faith with no demonstration of works is dead. So, well, Pastor, that's great for you to talk about. Like what? Like what good works? What big good works? I'm not talking that. I think if you would remember the readings on Sunday, like we talked about, if you could remember one reading, that would be a good work. It sure moves us forward. Do you try to get your grandchildren and all their friends to Sunday school? What a good work that would be. This act of concern and kindness reminds me of a story in Luke 10. And you'll remember this. This is the story about the man who was beaten, stripped of his clothes, and robbed by outlaws. People came upon him, but everybody refused to help because they just didn't want to be bothered. Is this not how we approach asking children to Sunday school? Do we just not want to be bothered? Are we too busy to ask the little children to come and meet Jesus on Sunday morning? Can you not be the Good Samaritan and just invite one small child? I love this concept, and you perhaps have heard it before, of random acts of kindness. It's great. It's because it's good works, small little good works. One time, a number of years ago, Kim and I had breakfast, what was called then the Hen House. It was always Old Homewick, of course, going to the Hen House. And I noticed that Father James was sitting by himself reading the newspaper. As we finished, I asked the waitress for our ticket. Can you imagine the shock when she said that Father James had picked up the check? Well, why'd he do that? It was just a random act of kindness that I never forgot. Right there in that spot, there sat a lady by the name of Anna Rodemeyer, and Alice remembers Anna very well. She ran the grocery store right next to the hardware company. And her little thing was she would always give us little kids small pieces of candy. Why did she do that? That was 70 plus years ago. But it was just a small little act of kindness that I never, 70 years later, never forgot. Can you just for a moment imagine the incredible joy you could bring to this world if you just initiated one small act of kindness every day? Can we not do that? Can we not open the floodgates of kindness to the people of this community? One of the common laments in closing I hear at all of our pastor district meetings is about membership. And we've also talked in Bible study, Mary's talked about it, and through Tom, because I've heard Tom's comments come through there, and the thought about membership. And Tom made the comment, I believe I'm getting it right, why do we worry so much about what we don't have? Why don't we embrace and take care of what we do have? Well, during the pastor's meeting, I said, well, maybe we should pray to the Lord to help us fill the pews. Well, someone took exception to that. They said, why would you do that? Do you realize that if we would do that, the people in the congregation would hold us responsible if that happened? And what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? Be very careful. Be very careful. Is that what God wants you to do? Have we honestly forgotten what the Lord said? I know you've got Bibles in front of you in your pews, and the reference is actually Ephesians 3:20. You can look it up if you like. But here's what it says. God can do much, much more. More than you can possibly ask or you can ever imagine. God can do more than you can imagine. And now I'm going to steal a line from Jerry's favorite book in James, where he flat out says to us here today, the reason we do not have, the reason you don't have is you don't ask. So why do we worry what we don't have when we don't even have the courage to ask? That's all God's demanding. He wants you to ask. I think that's fair. I think what God is asking is that we become bold in our prayers. We should pray like it already happened. Now, it may take time for a flower to bloom, but the seed is growing. You may not see it, but God can see it happening in your life. Be courageous. Be creative. Pray bigger than you've ever thought possible. Amen. And now may the peace of God protect and defend your hearts and minds until life everlasting. Amen.